man, they give me some energy this morning, and I am super thankful that you're watching wherever you're watching this morning. And just as a reminder, man, do you love this band or what? Come on, y'all. They throw it down. Mark your calendars. I'm going to put it on the screen for you one more time, man. It is happening next Sunday night. If you're missing live music, don't have any excuses. It's going to be happening. It is going to be awesome. Thanks to Hurricane Alley and my buddy Bo and all of them having a great time down there. So it's going to be awesome. Let's pray for some good weather right now. Lord, help us, all right? Thank you. So in addition to everything that's going around Easter, we're going to be getting ready to wrap up this series. But everybody's been asking, like, you know, how long is this thing going to go on? Well, you're not listening fast enough. That's the problem, all right? No, I'm just kidding. The truth is, I'm still working on me. And this is another message that I'm like, all right, Lord, let it start with me. So where are we going today? Here it is. You ready for this? 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is not conceited or proud. Now you're going, well, man, I don't think you're conceited or I don't think you're very prideful, but here's the truth. No one really knows what's going on inside of you. And there are times where you can go, man, I'm really, really excited about this, or I'm really, really proud of this. And God's always like, man, let me just remind you, I'm the one making it all happen. So let's keep it humble. And that's the real word for today. Love is humble. Now, if this is not your area that you struggle with, pay attention, because by the end, it might be a little more real for you, and you might see some areas you need some work on, because humility is often misunderstood. It's not this list I'm going to put on the screen for you. It's not shy and bashful, because everybody talks about my outgoing personality and like this. I'm like, no, it's not just that you're, you know, weak, poor self-esteem, insecure. It's not those things. That's not humility. The truth is, Jesus was none of these things, and he was very humble. So when I look at the life of Jesus and I look at my life, I got a long way to go when it comes to humility, because we all struggle with, Americans, all of us in this world, this next list. There are times that we're judgmental or that we're boastful, or we can be hypercritical. That would be me. I see something and I shouldn't do it, but I focus on the negative, or egotistical or conceited. All of these things are things Americans are a little bit more familiar with. So the reason these things come out is many people, it's because of a deep insecurity. They get insecure, so then they kind of lash out with some of these attributes here. Now, do you struggle in this area? Be honest, take a little evaluation and start thinking through your own life, because the goal of today is to do exactly what I'm fixing to put on the screen, to humbly love like Jesus, and that takes, what's that last word right there? Holler it out. Practice, all right? Now, every time I see the word practice, I go back in time to one of these basketball moments. Anybody remember Allen Iverson? Anybody? Where you at? Anybody? Okay. 4 or 5, thank you. There's not very many of you, but listen. When you say practice, this was the viral clip before things went viral. Allen Iverson talking about practice. Take it away, boy.
We sitting here, I supposed to be the franchise player, and we in here talking about practice. We talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. But we talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice? We talking about practice, man. We talking about practice. We talking about practice.
Come on. Now, some of y'all are tripping. Y'all think I've edited that. This is no exaggeration. If you were around, if you remember this, this was like a press conference. And the problem was, he was the best player, many people believe, one of the best players to ever play basketball. He did not go to practice. And so when he came into the room, everybody was like, where were you? Alan, this is the big game. Why didn't you come to practice? He was like, practice? And for about 15 minutes, he said it 1,000 times. It was like, practice? Why are y'all talking about practice? I made it for the game. Why are y'all worried about him coming to practice? And I'm thinking, what's the problem? Well, everybody began to say, arrogant, egotistical. He was definitely not humble. It was like, man, I don't need to go through this. I've came to the game. But here's why I brought this clip up. It's because sometimes in your Christian life, you can get to the same place. Like, I don't need to hear this message. I don't need to hear that. I don't need to work on this. I'm all right. I'm doing good. But the truth is, we all need practice. Can I get an amen out there somewhere? Especially when it comes to loving people that are not easy to love. It takes practice. 1 John 3:18, you ready for this? Let's don't just talk about love. I'm great that you're in the service. I'm great that you're watching all these, but we have to put it into practice. Let's practice real love. So it is one thing to Bible study, it is one thing to hear sermons, it's one thing to sing about love, but it is a whole nother level to put it into practice when you get in the real world. So you go, well, what are we practicing, Justin? Well, let's define it. This is a great definition of humility. You ready? It's not thinking less of yourself. So it's not this idea, I'm going to beat myself up, no. It's thinking of others instead of, right, yourself. It's acting in their best interest, not your own. It's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to put others before me. Romans 12 says it like this: practice playing second fiddle. I love the Message translation because it's like, hey, man, be willing to step back. Be willing to let someone else have the spotlight. Be willing to push someone else in front and say, hey, listen, I'm going to practice some humility here. And humility is not just a feeling. You know, we talk about love and we talk about all these different emotions, but it is really something that you do. It is an action that we live out. And Jesus was a great example of this. And all through Scripture, you're going to see this little reminder. Philippians gives it like this: don't push your way to the front. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Now, just stop right there and evaluate yourself. How many times in a weekly basis, looking back in your life, do you put others in front of yourself? Whether that's work, whether that's school, whether that's in your home. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. This really is the challenge for all of us. If we're going to put the power of love into action, it is when we are acting in humility and we are putting others in front of ourselves. And when you see that happen and when you experience it, it is powerful. It is a real mind blower, and everyone notices it and goes, man, there's something different about that. Well, lucky for you, my associate pastor has a great clip for us. It's Steve Hartman again to show you exactly what we're talking about. Now, this next clip, just as you watch it, could you do this? Could you literally humble yourself and love the way this lady did? I got some work to do. Watch.
Nakia Cherry in the black and Stacy Green in the bright may look like besties from way back, but this is a bond born from bitterness.
I love you so much, Miss Stacy.
Do a twirl.
4 years earlier, Stacy's mom, Rosie, was killed in a car crash. The other driver, Nakia Cherry, was doing 73 in a 45. Atlanta area police charged her with vehicular homicide, and Stacy was glad to see her suffer.
Yes, I was consumed.
By what?
Anger, sadness, loss.
I mean, Stacy was furious.
Let's see.
Attorneys Jeb Butler and Tom Giannotti represented Stacy in the civil trial, and they made sure to keep the parties in the case apart.
I was worried that if they got together, the result would be incendiary. I was very pleasantly wrong.
Instead, last October, Stacy went up to Nakia in this courthouse. She thought of what her minister mother would say and then told Nakia, I forgive you.
And when I forgave her, it's like I was reborn again.
You make it sound like a miracle.
Nothing short.
It was an extraordinary step, but only the first step. From then to now, Stacy has gone so far beyond the words, I forgive you, to the actions of, I love you.
She's like a godmama to me. I talk to her every day.
Nakia lost everything after the crash. She now lives in a motel.
So I am committed to her life getting better.
Like how?
So I've helped her with money for food.
You've given her money?
Yes. Rent. I was her daughter's secret Santa. I booked a trip for her to go to Miami for her 40th birthday.
Her attorneys say they've never heard of anything like it.
She's remarkable. They're, you know, remarkable person.
And all that's great. You know, that separates conversation from conviction.
Stacy didn't have to do that. I'm gonna cry.
Actually, Stacy says she did have to do all that, or she could have never forgiven herself.
We gotta make the best out of this situation.
Steve Hartman, on the road in Atlanta.
Come on, y'all. Come on, man. When I saw that, all I could think about was that's putting love into practice. Like, we can all say it. You can talk one thing. You can say you believe one thing. I love Jesus. I trust him. But if that's your story, if that's your family, if that's your mom, could you do that? See, for me, I look at my life and I want to be more like Jesus. But when I see it living out like that, I'm like, I don't know if I'm there yet. If you look at the Message translation of that Philippians passage, it says, think of yourselves the way Jesus thought of himself. I mean, he was God, but he took on the status of a slave. Now, even in that culture, they had slaves. This was a very difficult, negative term. This is not an easy term. It's still difficult for us today. But here he is going, hey, listen, I want you to think of yourself as you are really there to serve other people at any cost. And you see, it's an incredibly humbling process. How many times do you claim special privileges? I love being able to. I have a friend of mine. There's a local restaurant. It's called Gibbons. He has what's called the black card, all right? And the black card, he helped build it. So when you walk in, whenever the crowd is full in the lobby, you can walk in with the black card and be like, ba-bling. And they're like, oh, come on in. You know, I'm like, well, there's no tables. But for you. And everybody loves it, right? You're like, oh, yeah, listen, this is. That's a special privilege. Here's Jesus going, the Son of God comes to earth and says, man, I don't want any special privileges. How many pastors got a special little parking place or special this or special that? I'm like, how did we get so messed up? He didn't claim any special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life. That's what my goal is. That's what I'm shooting for. This is why people, why did you take on the chaplain role? Why do you go out to this? And why do you go to Africa and Juarez? And why are we drilling the water? Because I am just like every one of you. I have a temptation to move towards selfishness. I want to be selfish. So the more I can die to myself and put myself in circumstances that aren't comfortable or aren't easy, then man, it's like I know it's a win. It's easy to sit in a Bible study. It's easy to come to church and just sing the song. Okay, that was great. I feel good. But it's real difficult when you go out here, somebody cuts you off or you're at the Walmart line and you're like, I can't believe they cut in front of me. Whatever it may be. Where's my server? Come on. We have to put it into practice so that when people see us in every aspect of our life, they go, man, there's something different. They're so full of love and they're so humble that, man, it reflects Jesus. And I know I'm not there yet. And I want all of us in the simple church, all of us as followers of Jesus to go, man, that's who they are, no matter how you were treated. And there's really one key word here. You probably saw it in that scripture, but it's often overlooked, and that is the word obedience. If you really want to talk about why Jesus did it, if you really want to know what it was about, it's like, okay, God, I need to be obedient in this area of my life. Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on a cross. As we approach Easter, we all sing the songs. We go, oh, it's so beautiful. That was so awesome. Man, let's just cut to the chase. It was ugly. It was difficult. He was praying, is there any other way? But he went to the cross being obedient for me and you. And then he calls us to take up our cross and follow him. Why do we think we get a pass? So what area of life, and this is for me, this is for you, are you refusing to die to? So I thought of a couple of different areas. Which ones you're like, I just can't die to that. I can't be obedient in that area. For example, you saw in the clip, how are you at forgiving? Exes, employers, family members. You could go through the long list. I mean, this was a tragic situation, and she got to the place where it's like, I'm going to be obedient, and I am going to die to myself, and I am going to forgive. And you want to talk about 1 Corinthians love? Love does not remember wrongs done against it. If you don't forgive others, how about Matthew 6? Your Father in heaven will not forgive your sin. I could never forgive them. Don't say that. I could never forgive them for what they did. No, it's about being obedient to what God asks us to do. And when we do, there's freedom. And then we represent him, and they go, man, there's something different. Now I'll step on a few more toes. How about obedient in finances? Oh, why you got to bring up money, brother? Because I know this is an area we all struggle in. It's your money, right? Man, I earned all this. I mean, look, I'm going to do what I got to do with mine. All right, look at Deuteronomy. You ready for this? If you start thinking to yourselves, arrogant, I did all this. I got all this by myself. Man, I'm rich. It's all mine, baby. Look at this great translation. Well, think again, my friend. Remember that God gave you the strength to produce all this wealth. Man, he can take it like that. He can take your health. He can take your money. And he's like, man, when you start thinking, man, I don't have to be obedient with my fine. I can do whatever I want to do. He's like, okay. Proverbs 11, here's another one for you. It is possible to give away and become richer, right? It is possible. You're like, hey, man, why do you go to Juarez? Why do you go to all these places and help these kids? Because, man, when we're doing that, man, it's a blessing. But it is also possible to hold on so tightly that you lose everything. See, these are the reminders. These are the things that you start going, all right, let me deal with my life. Let me start really looking at, am I obedient in forgiveness? Am I obedient in finances? How about serving others? Are you obedient in that area? Think about the mission trips. They just went to Juarez. They had an awesome trip. How many times have we put up a mission trip and you say to yourself, I'm going to go on those one day? And instead, you stay in the comfort of your home, in the comfort of your money, in the comfort of your life, and go, well, that's pretty cool. I'm glad they did that. Because you don't want to give a week off, and you don't want to give a little bit of money, and you don't want to really experience what's happening. But I'm going to tell you, when my family came back, if you'll put the pictures back up there for a minute, my daughters were unbelievably moved. Man, my friends were like, this was an awesome trip. Why? Because it forces every one of them to be humble and to serve other people. You see that picture on the bottom? They cleaned out the trash in the street. You got a kid struggling with ego? You got a kid struggling? How about getting a shovel and just cleaning up dung all day? Can I get an amen? And then here's what happens. My daughter comes back. All my girls went, Angie and the girl. And they were like, Dad, it was the best. And this is what I want for my kids, and this is what I want for us as a church, is, man, it ain't about us. Nobody wants to clean up the trash. Everybody wants to have the good trip, and it's always the easy stuff. But here, when Amigo feels like, man, this is what we need to do, my kid, let's go. Aguiar's out there painting, cleaning up trash. This is your kid. This is your children's missionary, her kids. This is your pastor and their kids. This is their wife. And I'm going, thank you, Jesus. One of my favorite stories ever is when me and Angie went to Mexico the first time. And think about your life now. Just think about obedience, humility, humbling yourself to serve others. This picture brings it all back, man. This is right 27 years ago. Me and Angie go to Paras de la Fuente, about 9 hours into the heart of Mexico, working with an orphanage down there. And you want to know why I'm still so jacked up? It's because of moments like this. And I've been in churches for my whole life where everybody thinks it's the song and it's the sermon. It's not. The song and the sermon should drive you to the place to where you serve the community. It should drive you to the place where you live out humility in the world. It should be, this is the need. How can we meet it? This is the problem. How can we solve it? That's the goal of Christianity. And you do it out of humility. You do it out of serving others. Mark 10, you ready for this? Jesus called the followers together. You know that all these rulers, these bosses, right, they have to show their power over people. How many times in the church has it been this way? Well, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm just going to tell you, this is how we're going to do it here. This is true. I grew up in a church where the Sunday school locked up the refrigerator so no one else could have their product. I was in that church, saw it happen. I had other people say, this is our room. You really can't use this room. We only use it for this. And here's what's crazy. Jesus is talking about the world, and I'm still talking about the church. People love to use their authority over people. Oh, how many times have you seen this in the church and outside the church? Sound familiar? You get the job, and I'm the boss, and you're going to do this when they bully and push their way around, whether that's in the church or outside the church. But then Jesus says this, but it should not be this way with you. He's looking at the disciples. He's like, hey, boys, come on in, man. This is a jacked up world. You're fixing to go out there. Don't start acting like the world. Everybody talks about the world as in some of the songs. No, he's talking about in the way you treat people. He's talking about in the way that you do things in life. He's like, hey, come on, man. Whoever wants to be a leader, you must be. What's the word? I can't hear it. One more time in the theaters. Let me hear you. What? Servant. A servant. Die to being the boss. Serve. And if you think it's getting tough, wait, here we go. Let's continue. Because whoever wants to be first must serve the rest of you like a slave. Here we go again. A slave? You're using a derogatory, a negative term in our culture, and he's going, hey, this is what I'm calling you to? Yep, that's it. And you know you get it? What happens if someone treats you like a slave? I'm not going to be stand up for this. No one's going to treat me this way. How you know you finally have reached where Jesus wants you to be is when someone treats you like a slave, How do you respond? I will not stand for being treated this way. And I've heard it so many times. I am so tempted to do the same thing as you, whether it's in a restaurant, a car lot, whatever it is. Like, oh, ain't nobody going to treat me this way. He's like, man, come on. And then the verse that I memorized on that trip to Paras de la Fuente. It's the only word I can say that sounds kind of, you know, Spanish, so I got it, right? Follow my example. Who's saying this? Jesus. Even the Son of Man did not come to have people serve him. Oh, Pastor, I'm just here to serve you. Man, say, come on, stop. The goal should be, and I should be, how can I serve you? What can I do to help you or make your life better? How can I point you to Jesus? How can I serve you? He came to serve others and to give his life to save many. That's the goal. That's what we're shooting for. And one more example as we approach Easter, in case you still wonder why humility is a big deal and why when you say you love some, I love my church. I love Jesus. Okay, let's see. John 13, the Father had given Jesus power over everything. Great passage. God comes to him and says, Jesus, you are the man. There is nobody above you. All authority has been given to you, Jesus. So he's the boss. What's he going to do? So while they were eating, Jesus stood up, took off his robe, took a towel, put it around his waist, poured water into a bowl, and began to wash the followers' feet. That is powerful love. That is humility. And how do we do it today? You're going to be challenged when you walk out of this door, and you're going to be challenged every time you come in Simple Church, as long as I'm still the pastor, all right? Humbly serve others every day. Humbly serve others every day. Choose to die, choose to serve, choose to be obedient, whether that's forgiveness, whether that's your money, whether that's your time. And guess what? It's practice. Practice, practice. We talking practice? Yes. Crying babies coming up this Easter? Like, I don't think I could ever hold a crying baby. I've got too much to do. Well, this is your way to practice. Grouchy visitors on Easter, and they're coming in, they're all mad, or whatever's going on. Remember, we had it raining sideways before on Easter. We had to, like, literally, we had volunteers take off of their volunteer shirt because they were dry and give it to guests when they came in. And I was like, thank you, Jesus, we're finally getting there. Late teardown, when Easter's over, guess what? Everybody has to stay late, and everybody like, I can't, I got to get to grandma's. There's a group of volunteers that go, I'll do whatever I got to do. Humbly serve, man. Humbly serve. Pull these pictures because this is the behind the scenes of Easter. This is what it takes. Look at the smiles, whether it's putting stickers on the door or helping with baptism or setting up or tearing down. There are hundreds and hundreds of people humbly serving every day, but especially on Easter. Philippians, put yourself aside. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. That's why tonight you got this Easter meeting. When I keep asking you to do it, I know it's like, oh my God, I don't know if I can do that. Just help. Because when you use your gifts and your talents and your ability, you make us all better. Galatians 5, serve one another humbly in love. It's not like we're saying, oh, I'm the man and you're the man. No, it's like, look, man, I'm just here to help. If I can help you in that way, let me do it. Now, you may say, does it make a difference? Does it really make any difference whether you do it or not? I can tell you, I've experienced it. 17 years of Simple Church. It's changing me the way you've served, whether it's behind the scenes, taking care of babies, kids, student ministry trips, mission trips, setting up, tearing down. Dude, we've been sacrificing for 17 years. God, I'm so thankful for you. Yes, it makes a difference. And that is just one side of it. That's inside the walls of the church. But you want to know if it makes a difference outside the walls of the church? Here's one more video just to remind you how powerful love is, especially when you humble yourself to do it. Watch.
Cabot, Arkansas. Just as the sun begins to set over the local Walmart, store janitor Bill Majalewski begins walking to work for his overnight shift. He will trek 5 miles, 2 hours, in any weather.
Pouring rain, you're walking 2 hours each way.
Yeah, I don't call out. I want to work.
He's gonna go to work no matter what.
Snow,
I picked him up at 9 degrees the other morning. Let's go.
A couple years ago, Christy Conrad saw Bill out walking and offered him a ride. She got to know him, learned about his daunting daily commute and how he's also legally blind. So she began driving him whenever she could. At least, that's how it started.
Why did you feel the need to do more?
I can't be always there, you know?
So what was your plan?
Mr. Bill's Village.
Mr. Bill's Village is a Facebook group Christy started a couple months ago. She was hoping to find just a few volunteers to keep an eye out for Bill when he's walking.
And within days, it exploded.
It caught on really quick.
And now it's like everyone's competing to give Mr. Bill a ride.
They'll click and see, is Mr. Bill out walking? Is he headed to town?
So people are just driving around the streets looking for him?
Pretty much. Just like, where's Waldo, but where's Mr. Bill? Yeah. It's nice to see.
Today, the group has 1,500 members. In fact, here comes one now.
Hey, Mr. Bill. Do you need a ride to Walmart?
Oh, certainly.
All right. Yeah. Come on, hop on in.
You always get picked up now.
Pretty much, yeah.
And it's always somebody different.
It's never the same person from one day to the next.
That's amazing.
There's a lot of good people in this world. All over the place, you know.
And on that note,
how are you?
Here's one more good person.
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Chris Puckett is a car dealer. He wanted to give Bill a vehicle.
I wasn't aware that you couldn't drive.
But since Bill can't drive,
I'm legally blind.
I got you.
He handed the key to Christy instead, putting the car in karma.
I don't even know what to say. Bill, go get in that front seat. Go over there.
Doing unto others. It's how they roll here in Mr. Bill's Village.
Thank you.
Steve Hartman, on the road.
Bye, babe.
In Cabot, Arkansas.
Yes, sir. Come on, y'all. Come on. Thank God for Steve Hartman. Thank God that he takes the time to show you what it looks like to love in the real world. Thank you. Put yourselves aside. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Here's the whole goal, man. This is your opportunity. Easter's right here, man. If you go, man, if I could get involved, I would. Tonight, man, 5 o'clock, why wouldn't you serve? Give it a little bit of time on Easter. Maybe it'll be the first practice that you put in. You begin to practice a little bit, and then you're going to take it in the world, and you're going to see God do things in your life that you never thought was possible. Sign up for the next mission trip. We got one coming up in August. Excuse me. I think it's going to be in the summer, maybe July. We're going back to Amigo Fiel. I'm going on this one. I ain't missing this one. I'm going to tell you why. Because I don't want to miss these opportunities to humble ourselves and see God at work. And I want you to be with me, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome, all right? We love you. Easter volunteer, mission trips, all this stuff's going on right here at Simple Church. Dude, you got a pretty good church. Come on, y'all. Pretty good? Yes. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that they're here today. I thank you that they're watching. I am so blessed by the group of people that humbly serve every week. Lord, there's a lot of people in this community that are in need. Help us to keep seeing those needs and meeting those needs, to put love into action. Lord, you did it for us. You died on the cross. You shed your blood, Lord. You overcame the grave. That's why we celebrate Easter. Why? So that we could have a fresh start and a new beginning, that your power would fill us. You would forgive us. And in that forgiveness, God, you would call us into action. Not to just sit back, Lord, and be a taker, but to be a giver in every aspect of the word. Whether it's our school, our workplace, our community, or around the world, God, help us to follow you the way that you intended us to do that. Thank you, Lord, for dying for us. If somebody's never received you, I pray, Lord, it wouldn't be church or religion, it would be the person of Jesus. Lord, you would say, come into my life. I want to be more like you, Jesus. I know I'm a sinner and I ask for forgiveness and I need a fresh start. God, change me today and I know you'll meet them right where they are. And then, Lord, after we pray that prayer, give us the courage and strength to follow you, not just in a one-time prayer, but every day to walk humbly in love and serve this world that you've blessed us to live in. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can I get an amen out there? Come on, y'all. Come on.